Hi, and welcome to In the Real, a podcast for women by women, where we'll be talking about the hard, funny, and random things of life in any walk of life. So come have a seat at the table as we get in the real. Hey, and welcome back to In the Real. I'm Dina. This is Heather.
What's up?
And this is Luke.
Hello.
Because we don't have Marcia today.
Sad face.
Sad face. But we have Luke.
Happy face.
Happy face. Our silent sound man. Everybody gets to hear you today, babe.
He doesn't have to write things on
notepads. Doesn't have to write anything on a notepad.
So I probably still will.
You probably still will. Yeah. You're right. You're right. So we have a Marcia. She is doing amazing things right now. She is, what is she doing? She's doing a homeschool conference stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Because listen, y'all, she, for those of y'all that do not know, and if you don't know, I'm not sure you've been paying attention. She has got her own school. She has her own curriculum.
Yes.
She's amazing. And she gets to have her own booth out there. And so Luke and I are going to go out there on Saturday.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. We're going to go see if we want to pull our child out of public and put him into something else.
There are options.
We're finding out there's options.
There are a number of options.
Yeah. And you can kind of tailor make it to that child.
That's very different from how it was when I was growing up. And
did you homeschool?
Yeah, I've done all of it.
Oh, okay.
I've done all of the schools.
You're so cool.
Homeschool, private, and public.
So versatile.
Well, it's probably partially. It's probably partially why. But yeah, it's very different.
Okay.
So in a good way.
I think. You know our little guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would excel fairly well, don't you? Or do you know?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because he seems to do pretty good. Yeah. He's very self-motivated. I mean, he directs well. We have to tell him what to do, but he's pretty good about staying on task and doing the things, don't you think? You can say yes. It's fine.
He's so used to not being able to talk.
So there's going to be some questions like, why is Luke on here? And it's just, you know, and Marcia's not. Okay, so we already explained where Marcia is. She's out being amazing and growing big, beautiful brains.
Yeah.
We have Luke here with a microphone because, number one, he's an amazing husband and I asked him nicely. And we were talking about last week's episode as far as testimonies. And Luke had a thought that really kind of spun off on this. And he said we could talk about the real. And I'm not trying to off of our in the real, but the real testimonies and what it's like to face the crowd when we do.
Yes.
So do you want to explain kind of what your thoughts were when you gave me that thought?
Well, at first my thoughts on that were when it was a discussion of just the two of you, just, you know, Dina and Heather sitting down to talk about this. And it's like, well, what do we talk about? And my thought was, you know, I know there are other authors, other producers, you know, that are out there and that have put themselves out there. But I know that with the two of you, with Heather being a published author that has already gone through a lot of the process.
Yeah.
You, who is just starting the process,
mm-hmm.
but with your testimonies being so deep, so for lack of a better word, traumatic.
Yeah.
You know, what is it like to not just tell your testimony mm-hmm. for like, oh, you have 5 minutes, tell your testimony.
Right.
But no, write a book, write several books, write a whole bunch of stuff and go to talks about the, like, almost rewalking through the trash.
Yeah.
Of your testimony and what you've come through, it's like, what is it like to go through that and, you know, actually look at people and be like, well, I want to know more about that. Can you tell me more? You know, the questions that kind of come with that. And so that was kind of the start of the thought process of what I was like, oh, you guys could talk about this.
Do you want to talk about that?
You get questions?
No. I get threats.
I never get questions from everyone. And it's okay. I think that's a good thing. Not the threats.
But you get comments too.
I do.
You get a lot of comments.
Very interesting comments. But I think one, when God wants you to do that,
yeah,
there's grace in that. Like, I didn't just start talking about my history. Like, there was therapy beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still kind of therapy right now. It becomes therapy. But there's a, like, I don't necessarily think that everyone should just run around shooting their testimony every gory bit to every person they come across.
Right.
Because, one, not every person is ready for that.
Right.
And not every person is ready to, is, should even do that for their own health.
Yeah.
Like, for their own sake.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's definitely a grace that comes with that when God says, okay, it's time to start writing this out.
Yeah.
And there is a therapeutic value to it. But it's so important because I'm not unique. I mean, I am unique. Yeah. But, like, I could show you a website where there's thousands of people who have walked away from the LGBTQ lifestyle. Thousands.
Yeah.
I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
I'm not the only person. I'm not the only person with PTSD. So it's important sometimes just to tell your story so other people can hear it.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you think it does anything for them.
Right.
I think it just shows them that, one, you're not so screwed up that you can't be saved.
Come on.
Or hear from God.
Come on.
Or have a new life. And two, welcome to the screwed up club. No, I'm just kidding. Like, but it's refreshing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think in Christian circles, especially.
Yeah.
To just be like, hey,
yeah,
not perfect.
Yeah.
I know I've been saved for 25 years. I haven't, but as an example, I've been saved for 25 years, but before that, guess what? Like we saw with Patty.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of the stuff I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But, and she's like, but that's okay that it's hard to understand.
Yes.
It should be hard to understand over time.
Yeah.
Because you're not that person anymore.
Right. Right.
But I have been that person. And I've been that person enough to show you that it doesn't have to stop there.
I love that.
That's the power of your testimony.
Right. You right.
know, it's not to go into the funky details of some of it.
And then it's like, just like your tattoos, then it gives that hope, right?
Yeah.
It gives a hope. You said it. You said where, you know, because both of you guys are veterans. Let me put it in this space. Like, you guys are both veterans. I have watched both of you, Luke particularly. I don't hang out with you as much as far as in the
That's fair.
Outside, you know what I mean? When it comes to, I don't go to the VA with you and go get your blood drawn and things of that nature. I just don't. I will. You
it's
need me
so
to, I'll go with you,
don't.
Girl. I'll go with you, girl. It'd be fine. But because I know how to maneuver myself around that place now. Pretty good. But it's like, I watch how veterans encounter each other, and you guys could be in the different battles. Some of y'all have never seen war. Some of you, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what the vet has or has not done. The fact is that you guys have a common denominator. There's a common experience. You guys all went through the
boot camp
and things that basic training, things of that nature, right? And it's like, but when you start telling tales or you start saying, well, I was stationed over here, and then you start seeing people's faces light up. Oh, you yourself, Heather, like, you have so many people that are contacting you with, don't let the monsters out. I thank you for, hey, I was there, or you know what I mean? And it's like, there becomes this, they feel seen, right? And it's like, I think it's when we do our testimony and we share something, even if there's just the smallest part of that testimony that that person can relate to, all of a sudden they feel seen.
Right.
They see that, oh, okay, so I, like you said, I'm not an anomaly. There's nothing special about me. Right. Like, I'm not a one of a kind kind of sin. Oh, so I'm not the only one? Because the enemy will sit here, right?
Right.
He will tell us time and time again, you're the only one that did this, or you're the only one that was this far gone. And then he isolates you in that space and then shows you, you know, he tries to manipulate you into the thinking that there's no way out.
Yeah, it begins to take some of that alienation away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not to take away, I don't know, people nowadays want to be special. So, yes. Like, I want to blend in with the crowd, but people are like, I have to be God's delicate flower.
Right.
And if that's you, blessings, but it's not me. And so I like it. That's one way I used to tell myself when I would start getting real paranoid, was be like, you need to shut up because you're not that special.
Yeah.
The government's not following you, but I think that
just kidding.
Well, maybe
a little bit.
I think it's freeing for a lot of people to know, not that you're not that special, but you're not that alone.
Yes. Yes.
Like, this isn't, your experience is unique.
Yeah.
But your experience combined with the people that are talking to you,
mm-hmm.
there's a place for it. And it's not so unique that nobody can understand who you are.
That's good.
And which is why I think it's important that we tell stories. Not stories.
Stories.
But I mean, a long
stories,
day.
Stories
just any story will be.
Stories of
no,
our testimony.
No, like
your
story. Like it's very important because it shows God.
Yeah.
It shows God. Like, people say, well, what is your testimony? Well, I did blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
But then I met God.
Yeah.
And that's the crux of the story. It's not what I did, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's this part where that Heather shouldn't have had a chance to meet God.
Right.
But he did.
Yeah. Yeah. He came down in the middle of the mess.
Right.
Yep.
And he said, hey.
Yeah.
You're cool. We got a lot to work with here.
Yeah.
We got a lot to do. Like, it's not, you're not perfect.
Yeah.
But you know what? I didn't create you to be perfect right now. I created you to just be alive.
Oh.
And like, that's important for people.
Yeah.
It's just your story, whether it's you got saved at 5 or you got saved at 55.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
Because there are people out there who think that they aren't seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a friend that was in church like all his life, Luke.
Yes. Yeah.
And he came to you kind of one day as far as just your testimony versus his testimony. Do you remember that?
I do. And it was, and I remember this, you know, him saying this to me, but it's like I've heard other people that have been in church all their lives tell this story. You know, Heather, I remember I was having a conversation with your brother Levi, kind of along the same lines, but this story was not Levi. But it was, you know, he told the story of, you know, he's loved Jesus all his life, and he's like, he looks at, you know, like our kind of stories, the ones that haven't followed Jesus all their life. And, you know, we've gone through this stuff, and it's like, man, I wish I had a testimony like that. And it's like, you really don't,
no, you don't.
You know,
no, you
and
don't.
It's like, you know, you don't, because either way you go, it's still a really good story that you're serving God, you know, whether you had to, you know, for those that didn't know A to B, you know, and had to take the detour through the swamp.
Yeah.
You know, either way, your goal is God.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, hey, I've loved Jesus all my whole life. Here's what's going on. You know, again, kind of talking about Levi, it's, I asked him once, I was like, you know, what's it like to have Jesus in your life through all the major milestones that you've gone through, you know, like growing up and, you know, all this, and he's telling me, and then he flips it. He's like, but what's it like to not have Jesus? You know? And I'm like, lot of pain, a lot of mental health issues, a lot of drinking, drugs, you know? He's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it was that bad. I was like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but then it's like, I mean, I know there's a worship leader and talker, speaker, not talker, Catherine Mullins.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's been to our church a few times,
yeah.
and she tells that's her story. That's
yeah.
her testimony of she's loved Jesus from day one.
Yeah.
And she will shout from the mountaintops how awesome God is. And it's like, it's funny how there are people on each side of that that are jealous.
Yeah.
Of
Ew.
The other's story.
Yeah. Ew.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, and it's, and it, I think it sometimes can be a disservice
yes.
to the people that have been following Jesus their whole lives
yeah.
to hear the stories
yeah.
and that jealousy creeps in and they're like, well, so that I can love Jesus better, I have to go through the trash
yeah. yeah,
so that I can be better.
I have to understand.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You and can then read a book. You don't need to understand.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where it's like Jesus himself, the sinless, like sinless lamb, right? Sinless lamb of God, didn't do anything wrong, walked through life, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the things, was tempted, did all, he stayed true to his father, kept going. I think that people forget that part of our story, that part of our story that, you know, well, like, that's what we want to be striving for. Because when he says, hey, I want to rescue you out of this stuff because I want you to have joy and I want you to have peace. I want you to have all of the good things that come from me. And it's like, I think I love that you nailed that because even with our listeners and even people in, you know, just in the body of Christ, not just church, but just like the body. I think that that's one of those spaces that the enemy uses, yeah. right?
It can become a weird competition.
It's gross.
And then even amongst people with the, like, more...
explicit.
There you go. Lifestyles. I was trying to figure out the better way to say that. But, like, it becomes even an even weirder competition. Well, you did this? Well, before Jesus, I did this.
Right.
And it's like...
The trauma Olympics.
The trauma Olympics. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah? You were abused? Well, guess what? I'll see that, and I'm going to throw in some sexual abuse on top. And it's like,
wow.
And you know, you're like, what is going on here?
Wow.
I'm just glad you got saved. Like,
yeah.
And let's start working through that. But it's funny. It's not funny. Sorry, that was really funny. I just but, like, we think of Jesus, who was perfect.
Yeah.
And he hung out with the sinners. And yeah. then... this is where some people really get it
twisted,
confused, and they go out with the right hearts. And God's mm-hmm. like, I didn't send you to go hang out with those people. And there are people who God said, I want you to go hang out
mm-hmm.
and I want you to go help out prostitutes. And then yeah. there are other ones that they say, he's like, no, not your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Not right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being aware of who you are, what God has called you to do for season, for life, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus hung out with all these people and he still didn't sin. But the important thing is that he didn't see them as any different.
Come on.
And that is where we as Christians really need to remember. The person who's loved Jesus all their life
mm-hmm.
doesn't see the former lesbian any different.
Come on.
He really doesn't. He's just...
Come on.
He makes jokes. Anyways... I'm talking about Levi. I'm talking about Levi. Like, not those kind of jokes, but we just make jokes with each other.
No,
not inappropriate jokes. He's not even listening to this one, but his wife will.
She's gonna be laughing.
She's gonna be laughing. She'll be like, "Hey, what kind of jokes?" But like, he doesn't.
Yeah.
That is important.
Yes.
And then for those of us with a more different testimony,
mm-hmm.
to not see those people who grew up.
I love that.
As any different.
I love that.
Because when you come to Jesus, you got to change.
Yes.
And
yes.
it doesn't matter if it's, you know, you need to step away from pornography or you need to learn how to love your wife better or you need to learn how to just be a nice Christian.
Come on.
And not a rude one.
Come on.
When you come to Jesus,
yeah,
you need to change.
Yeah.
That's why we make the come to Jesus jokes, because it's time to change. Like... And it doesn't matter what you've come from.
Yeah.
Things will change.
That's so good.
But we don't look at others. We try not to look at others, whatever their background, as different. Because now we're all the same.
Yeah. I love that.
So
So you spitballed.
I spitballed a thought.
Okay, so Luke and I were at the gym yesterday, shocker. And we were throwing thoughts back and forth.
I thought you were going to say weights.
No, nobody was being ugly. We didn't.
I could see you guys with like the medicine ball just doing a gentle toss.
Oh, so yeah, we have done that. We've done that.
I was like, you guys do that?
I usually slam ball it. I will slam it. But because of where we are, they would call me a lunk probably. So.
I know where you are. Ding, ding, ding.
So yeah, we don't do that. Anyway, so I have to do that in the privacy of my own home. We have three of them, by the way. But so one of the topics that I spitballed out was fear makes you do things you would never dream of doing. Stupid, unthinkable things. And then you followed up with, when you don't face the war you were created for, we face situations we have no grace for.
Ugh, yeah, that's a quote by Bill Johnson.
Dude.
So I think the fear one, we were talking about that too.
Were we?
I could be wrong.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
Yesterday we had a lot of cool spitballs.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a painful one. Was when he said that I was driving and I had to pull over.
Oh, no.
So I could type it in. My Siri wasn't listening.
Oh.
I was like, hey, Siri. And it was like, I can't do that. I was like, ah. So I had to pull over, rewind it, and listen.
Yeah.
Because I thought, at first I was like, okay. And then I started thinking about that and I was like, because if you don't, and why don't you face the war you've been born for? Like, what is it that you don't face? It's usually fear. I mean, when you boil it down, you're afraid.
It's fear. And I also think kind of what you just said, okay, because we're talking about testimonies, we're talking about our lives, we're talking about our walks with God. Mm-hmm. So the fear, but I think it's also competition. Well, my walk is going to look different. So and your battle, Luke, looks a lot different than my battle. So I think I'm going to go jump into your fight. Whoa, 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 bro. Cause the same friend had joked with Luke one day and he's like, I'm going to go to Vegas and I'm going to like put however much money on black. And Luke's response was,
don't do it. Vegas will kill you.
Yeah,
Vegas.
It would absolutely eat him up.
I know you. Not that I've been to Vegas, but I know the spirit that lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm like, that place would eat you up.
You only got to win once. and then you're gone.
And then you're gone. But it's not even that. It's just, it's the people that you see on the streets. It's the stuff that's going on around you. You have to bounce your eyes. We have our friends, the Flaggers. They went, I guess they stopped in Vegas to do something, some sort of conference, something.
Yeah, like a church thing.
Yeah. And
in Vegas?
Okay,
sorry.
Yeah. And they said the whole time, like, she's grabbing hold. If we say the story wrong, guys, sorry, because she does listen. But it's like she's having to grab his shirt. She has her eyes around Leah's, their daughter's eyes, and he's maneuvering them through, like, because it just was too much. And it's like, if you don't have the grace, you said it, right? Yep. Some people are called, my mom, okay? My mom used to go, when her and my dad were married and they were here in the KC area, this is where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
When I was teeny tiny, my mom would take us to a coffee shop. And it was a coffee shop that they had opened. You'd have the prostitutes, the pimps, you'd have the drug addicts, you'd have the homeless, you'd have everybody, right? From every walk of life coming in. And she would just minister to them, tell them about the Lord. She'd tell them about God. And Luke knows my mom, and she has the grace for that, right? Like, you know that this is a woman that literally she just, you know, her hairstylist, he was gay, introduced her to the boyfriend, he introduced her to the boyfriend. She's getting the boyfriend saved. And he continues to just introduce her to people. And every time she's telling them about Jesus and how the goodness of God and how they can be made whole and changed.
Right.
Didn't say that they had to, you don't have to stop, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's something better.
Right.
You know, but that was the grace.
And part of it, I could imagine,
Yeah.
Is that this is a woman who's obviously a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes me.
Yeah.
Me who.
Yeah.
Most of your kind.
Mm-hmm.
Most Christian kind.
Yeah.
Especially back then.
Yes.
Were not so open with. And so.
Yeah.
You know, people could smell a fake.
Yes.
You can't. Yes. So it's like, don't fake it. If it's not your ministry, it's not your ministry. Don't fake
yes.
it.
Yes.
Like, don't. That doesn't mean there's a space to grow, but yeah. like, don't, if you're, or if you're not willing, don't fake it.
Yeah.
But, I think it was that whole idea too, is just, she just wants to talk to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure she didn't walk in and go, you need to get saved.
No. No.
But obviously, ooh, if I was that hairstylist, I would have been a little upset, but like, what? I understand the feeling. Anyways. May or may not have happened to me.
I was going to say, I'm pretty certain you have a similar story.
Very similar. Yeah. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Aw. But it was.
I was going to say, and to kind of go back to Heather, your earlier comment about, you know, Jesus is eating with the sinners and all. And I think that's where I feel like a lot of modern Christians get it just a little off.
Mm-hmm.
Is, yes, Jesus ate with the sinners, but he didn't validate the sinners.
Come on, babe.
Yes.
And I think that's what a lot of people are like, well, we need to tolerate and validate who they are. It's like, no, you can sit with them and talk with them about the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think, not trying to deviate too far off, but
no.
as Americans, we don't know how to disagree and still get along.
Come on.
For the most part. And right. I'm not going to go any bit farther than that, but
right.
it's true. Like, there right. were years before where we would sit there and disagree. But you know what? You still need to eat dinner. Like,
right.
And it's not that Jesus sought out the sinners.
They sought him out.
They sought him out.
Mm-hmm.
And when given the opportunity, he sat with the Pharisees too.
Come on.
They just didn't often. I can't speak. They didn't give him that opportunity all that often.
Yeah.
Because he was okay with the sinners. So, not okay with them, but he did not mind being in close proximity.
Yeah.
But that didn't mean he took up their sin and wiped it on himself.
Right.
So,
I think we as people, when we're giving our testimonies, we need to say, what is my motivation?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I even telling my testimony? Is it to say, ooh, look at me. Look at everything that I've
Shiny.
Been through.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at, because even, you know, we were even joking the other day, and it's like, there's the difference of the testimonies when you hear the, you know, man, let me tell you what my God has done, to, you know, got my home in glory, and God, he just saved me, and he keeping me alive, and I just thank him one more day. And guess what church I was raised in? It's fine. It's fine.
I had the flashes of some people flash before
yep,
my eyes.
Yep. And that's what they know to a space. But then you want to go, but where is the fullness? Where is the, okay, that's good. I'm glad you have that. But
and maybe one more day is a big deal for them.
One may you're right. You're right. But I think we need to say, kind of goes back into the play of how much do you tell, how much of your testimony do you even tell?
Yes.
Because again, you coming from the background that you come from, okay, for those that do not know my husband, because we haven't really talked, we haven't interviewed you, we haven't talked about this, but I'll give a quick, do you want to give a quick background of who you are? Do you want me to? Okay. My sweet husband was raised in a Catholic background. Sweet, sweet family. I've got one of the best in-laws. I truly have some of the best in-laws on the planet. I do. They're good people. And the thing is he didn't find what he needed in the Catholic Church.
Right.
And so he turned to witchcraft and did the spells, did the things, did the stuff, lived the lifestyle, went into all of this stuff, okay? For about a decade of his life. And then he encountered a friend that just loved him like Jesus, right? Like what we're talking about, Heather. Just, he sat with him. He just got to know him. He didn't partake in what Luke was partaking in, but Luke he recognized that his friend was different from other people that he was encountering, even other Christians, because Luke is, you've encountered people from Christian backgrounds where some really bad situations.
And some of my good, one of my best friends that I've had for decades.
Yeah.
He loves Jesus with all that's in him. And he's tried to get me to go to church with him. And it just, didn't work.
Yeah. And your goal in life during a small period of that y'all's time was to try to corrupt him as much as you could, right?
No.
Was that the friend or was it a different friend?
No. I never wanted to corrupt him because he was good and solid.
He's good people.
No, it was when I was in the Air Force, I tried to for a small season, I one of my roommates was a little Mormon kid.
Y'all are horrible. Sorry. Y'all are horrible.
Heather will understand this. He was a little Mormon kid fresh out of high school, went into being a crew chief.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. I had a few people like that, too, but they weren't Mormons. That just made it better.
We're going to give them a second, y'all. We just lost our friends.
Wait, this is a curiosity. You don't even have to answer. So you tried to get him into witchcraft?
No, it's not that I tried to get him into witchcraft, but it was like I would find like some of the like just some of the verbal raunchy. Just like, dude, you need to check out this video.
I taught a friend how to smoke and drink, and you know her.
Shut up. Y'all are funny.
Hopefully her mom doesn't listen to this. Anyways.
Oh, that's good. That's good. But I think what it is it's when you go in with that testimony, when you tell somebody your back history, when you tell them what's going on with you, number one, it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. We know that. We know it's like some people can stomach the full buffet of what is your stuff, right? Your past. Some people can only take so much stuff. Some things will trigger some other people, and some things will actually set somebody free.
Right.
And that's what we know about God. And I think that's what made Jesus so beautiful in these spaces, because when he encountered these people, he's seeing them, the original intent of who they were supposed to be, as opposed to the sin that was covering them in that space. And then when it comes to our testimony, it's like, are you trying to bring forth hope and freedom, or are you just showing off?
Right.
You know, are you showing the goodness of who our God can be, and the colossal, what is it, the genie, because our sun runs around and
phenomenal cosmic power.
Itty-bitty living space. But the cosmic power of who our God is, like, do you want to know the darkness and the depths that I've been through? Let me tell you what God literally has rescued me out of, you know? Or is it somebody comes to you and they like literally word vomit on you and tell you all of the things that they've done. And because of who you are and what you've been through, you're able to wrap them up in that compassion, sit with them and say, I understand.
And maybe never even tell your story.
Never even tell the story.
That's not the point at that
That's
point.
It. That's it.
And I've always found it interesting with people who ask questions.
Yeah.
Because I'll answer most questions. It depends.
Sure.
How are you asking? That's another thing.
Yeah.
When someone's coming up to you to ask you something, how are you asking? Like, what do you want to know?
Right. And why?
Because there are some things that people want to know. And I'm like, why? You don't need to know that. Like,
right.
But then there are other times where people are like, I just need to know because I need to know what God can do.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not like you're just going to be like, well, this is me at my lowest point. I'm just going to leave you there.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, I'm going to follow that up with, but God.
Yeah.
But then I became alive.
Yeah.
And I think I may have lost my point. I think it's so important that we, like you said, we're discerning.
Yes.
As to who you're talking to. You know, there are people when they first get saved, they just spit it all out. I get that. You just got, I'm not against it.
You
go ahead, girlfriend.
Free, go.
Maybe we don't need to give you a microphone for it, though. But maybe you do.
Maybe you do.
In some cases, you do.
And yeah. maybe
yeah.
you do.
Yeah.
And that, and you are setting other people free.
Yes.
Because I don't know who's in the audience. Maybe there are people in the audience who said, that person's never going to get set free. And they've seen it. Now it's that. Now it's proof.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But then I've met people who, they begin their speaking tour 5 minutes after they got saved. And you're like, whoa. And that's what I call trauma porn. They just yeah. get up and talk about, I think we might have to put the explicit rating again.
No.
Sorry.
No, but no, like, not a bad word.
But like, they just get up mm-hmm. and verbally vomit into a microphone week in, week out, different
yes.
place, different place. And I don't know if it's so big nowadays, but I do remember it happening a couple times, especially in like the 90s, where you're excited to hear mm-hmm. this person got saved in this from this life or from whatever, from, you know, gang banging. But
yeah.
I didn't need to know about the people you assaulted.
Correct.
Like, you know,
yeah.
I didn't need to know about that poor guy you stabbed in the neck. Like, it was
right.
calm down. But they
right.
don't know any better because they're baby Christians. And
yeah.
now we've thrown them onto a stage time and time again.
Yeah.
And they're not growing because apparently they're supposed to be the leader now.
Oh, wow.
Because you got the good story.
Mm.
And then you cut them off from the vine before they ever learn to receive any kind of benefits. They don't
wow.
understand how to grow.
Wow.
When it's like, it's okay. I'm all for telling your story, telling it to the right people, telling it to a group full of people. It not being nice.
Yes.
But as you grow, the words can change a bit and still have the same effect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't want you to have been saved for 17 years and get up there and then just graphically describe every tiny little thing you did 18 years before.
Yeah.
You'll probably remember. But I bet it's probably not going to happen as often as we think it should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are times when you get up and be like, listen, there have been times, not on stage
mm-hmm.
for me, thankfully, because I probably would have blurted it out, but with people where they'll be like, I can't see that. And I can't. I'm like, do you know who I was? I could kill you. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. We haven't redeemed that part yet. Like,
right.
But you know, like it's almost like an affront
yeah.
to me. Like, what do you mean you don't see it? Well, let me show you it. And
yeah.
I'm like, wait,
yeah,
she's dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's not telling my story.
Right.
It is, but not in a way that's effective.
Right.
That's not the way God wants it told. But maybe. But probably not most of the time that I want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that there are different ways in we just learn a balance of a sorts.
I was about to say. Yeah.
I call it being unbalancedly balanced. I'm going to always be a little off kilter.
Okay.
Because I'm leaning towards God. So if he moves, I'll be off balance, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But my balance is always towards God. So I will be unbalanced, but balanced.
I love that. But I like where you were talking about as far as fear. You started with fear. One of the reasons why people don't walk into that, we don't face the war we were created for. We face situations we have no grace for. And so when we talk about fear, I think there's a fear of not just walking into who it is that we need to be, but there's a fear of man in the process, right? Like, I need to say this. Okay, well, but this over here says I need to be polished, or this over here, you know what I mean? It's
right.
like, it's almost, there's some days, no, there's most days, I'll give it, and you guys know me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, most days I'd rather err on giving you too much than not enough.
Yeah.
I would rather err on saying more than probably what I should in man's eyes, as opposed to I didn't tell that person enough, of what God could do. And you know what I mean? And so it's like, it's one of those where the fear of telling the full testimony, that you're willing to have a heart that says, I'll give you all the guts and the gore if you want me to. But is this going to be something that will help set you free, or is this going to be something that's going to lock you up?
And I think if you're giving it, God will use it.
Absolutely.
And right now, as a Christianity thing, we oftentimes don't speak enough.
I agree.
So, I could see what you're saying. Like, no, just open your mouth.
Yeah.
Let the words come out.
Yeah.
We oftentimes just keep our mouth shut. And there's a fear of being rejected.
Sure.
Or being told, that no, that didn't happen. Or, you know what I mean? Being questioned about what you're like, nah, I was there.
Yeah.
I know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But being told, maybe you just see it differently. And you're like, no, I don't see it. I see it quite clearly now for the first time in my life. Like,
right.
And what do you do with that? Because it hurts.
Yeah.
That's usually not people. That's people oftentimes speaking out of their own fear.
Yes.
They don't want to acknowledge that whatever they should have, could have, would have, who knows. But they don't want to acknowledge their own fear.
Yeah.
So they're putting it on us.
Yeah.
But it's not my job to carry your fear. I have enough of my own.
Come on, Heather.
I have to work through my own. I don't need to take yours.
Right.
And so I was reading this, that the fear idea had come from. I was reading the story of Gideon. And like, fear plays a huge part in the entire story. All of it.
Yeah.
Like everything. I'm like, Gideon was afraid. The Israelites were afraid, but yet they still acted.
Yeah.
When it was time to act, they still acted.
Yeah.
It's not saying you can't have fear. It's saying you can't let it control you.
Right.
Because some fear is actually a good thing.
It's good. Yeah.
But they acted on it. Whereas their enemies became so terrified that when they heard the first trumpet, they freaked out and stabbed each other.
Yeah.
Their fear caused them to destroy themselves.
Yeah.
Your fear can cause you to do terrible things.
Right.
People who are living in fear, and that's what our country is living in.
Yeah.
Can cause them to do awful things. And so to step out of that is absolutely terrifying. But then you're freer than you've ever been in your life.
Yeah.
And that scares other people. It's a beautiful cycle.
Yeah.
Go ahead, babe. I was going to say, and what is it they say? Courage is being scared and doing it anyway.
Doing it anyway. Yeah.
Do it afraid. I mean.
Yeah, we'll tell a story about how we did our first podcast episode.
Oh,
talk
gosh.
About doing it afraid.
Gosh.
It was a good episode. I listened to it.
We actually deleted our first episode.
Oh, well, I didn't listen to that one then. But I remember I was talking to somebody Okay, so I was at a book event, and I was talking about my book.
Because you're an author.
So I'm an author. I have a third book coming out. Oh, anyways, I was talking about the first book. This person had, like, bless them, no clue. They were the ones that asked if the pictures of the shivs were from an art day. You know, if we made it an art class, I was like, it's a prison. There's no art class. And then we were talking about some of the things that were in the book, and I was talking about some of the riots and stuff. And this person said, oh, I don't think I could have gone there because, like, you know, I would have been too afraid. I don't think I could have done anything at a riot. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, I was afraid. I'm not saying I wasn't afraid. I'm just saying you had to.
Yeah.
Because if you did nothing, she's like, oh, no. Oops. This person was like, oh, no, I couldn't have done anything. And I said, but if you don't do anything, you would die.
You die. Yeah.
So you either do nothing and die or try something.
Wow.
And they were, and I'm like, that's the thing. At some point, we have to remind ourselves with fear. Mm-hmm. You do nothing. Okay, we can say fear wins. Or you die.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually, physically, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Or you do something.
Yeah.
Even with the fear. And see what happens.
Yeah. Because I think sometimes when we do the testimonies and when we are speaking it to people, and you have different ones that say things of that nature, like, well, I could have never have done something of that nature, right? It's exposing something that's going on inside of them. Mm-hmm. Or you tell your testimony, okay? You've come out of so much stuff, so much trauma. Luke has come out of so much stuff. We all have, right? And we tell, any one of us gives our testimony, and somebody will say, well, that was you. But, and it's like, it's that you want to say, just come out into the deep just a little bit more. I promise it will get better, but you have to come out of what you're familiar with, even if it scares you.
Yeah. I told someone, we were talking about, I'm going to keep this very, very vague.
Okay.
And it's been more than one person, but they were saying that they were at a point where it was really their decision on what they were going to do with their life.
Okay.
And they were very much so like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, you do. You don't necessarily want to do it. And that's okay. I get that. Mm. But you do know what you need to do.
Yeah.
And as a person who, I'm a fixer, mm-hmm. Dina, as you know.
I do.
You'll call and I'll be like, so what are we doing? Are we going to be mowing the yard? Or are we going to be killing somebody? What are you right, doing? Right. And she's like, I just need to let me vent. And I'm like, okay. So with this person, they wanted me to do something, like to make this decision.
Yeah.
I cannot make that decision for you, and I won't.
Yeah.
And it's okay to have a boundary like that. We should.
Absolutely.
And I remember something that my friend Karen told me when we were texting back and forth, deciding whether I should go to church again. She would just let it dangle.
Huh.
She'd be like, okay, but this is, you know what to do. I mean, that's your decision. I can't make it for you. And then just let you sit in it. And that is actually, for most people, you're like, well, I can't be just this uncomfortable all the time. Right. Because God's working on you. He's not over there. He's going to, like, oh no, we could do a little discomfort. That's fine. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been learning, is try not to fix everything for people.
That's good.
I'm literally just going to let you sit in the discomfort for a little bit.
Yeah.
You'll come to a decision. And they did. And, you know, a little while later, they let me know what was going on. And I was like, okay. But a lot of times people want you to help them make the decision because they don't think that they can.
Right.
They've either been so tied up in fear.
Yeah.
Or a host of other things.
Yeah.
That they don't really think they can make decisions anymore. And that's one of the first steps. And no, you can. And I'll just let you be a little discomforted.
Yeah.
You know, and it was discomforting to me because I'm like, I can fix this. I know what you need. Like, here, get me on the phone. I will talk to this person. I'm like, I can't do it.
Right.
I can't do any of that for you because this has got to be you stepping from this, not me.
Yeah.
I already did it. So.
So do you think that there's a space, though, eventually, because I'm going to go back to one of the things that Jim Thoughts. Did you want to do the Taste the Egypt? Or
go back to Jim Thoughts.
Well, go back
now
to...
Now people are going to want to do it.
Okay. Well, we'll do that another time. Okay. So one of the Jim Thoughts that... Luke and I were talking about was talking about the deficit in the body of Christ. And so we're talking about our testimonies. We're talking about speaking, mm-hmm. right, to people's spirits, setting them free, releasing them out of bondage. But now we're having to deal with their minds, their bodies, their emotions, right? And it's like there's a deficit in the body of Christ and we're speaking to the spirits, but how do we help replenish the body itself? Because in Jewish culture, there's no separation. So why are we doing this in the church?
We're not Jewish.
I mean, I know we're not Jewish.
I mean, like for us, it is hard. That was a really hard age. I was talking Middle Eastern for you guys. It's hard for us to understand that they don't, that the, like, the Middle Eastern culture of the time back then, you know, context wise, they viewed everything as interwoven.
Yeah.
And we just don't think that way. That doesn't mean we shouldn't. I'm just saying we just don't. So it's, you kind of got to learn how to do that anyways.
Correct.
It's like learning to bring Jesus into everything in your life and not leave him at the church.
Yes.
It's a learned thing.
Yes.
And it takes time. And I think nowadays there's actually quite a big push with people trying to learn that. Look at all the house churches and the home groups.
Yeah.
People are trying to learn how to be a community.
Yeah.
I don't think we realized how fractured our community had gotten till COVID, and then it got ripped open real bad.
Yes.
But it had already started to fracture. There was already...
It just exposed all of the...
It just exposed everything. Yep. So in one way, positive.
I think it's a positive. You know,
it's a positive, the swing back.
Yeah.
But they are. Like, people are wanting to do things together.
Yeah.
In a communal type. I've even seen, like, people wanting to do community living.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, not just Christians. I mean, like
off
family.
The grid, let's go.
They just want to live with their families and in houses. I mean, it's kind of cool. I don't know if, I live with my parents, so it doesn't really matter. Be the same.
Yeah.
But,
we've talked about getting land.
Yeah.
And building the house. And then we would build several houses on that land. And we'd have in-laws, outlaws, Gabri, if she wants to, you know, because she's getting older.
You pointed at me when you said outlaws. Just
outlaws.
So you know.
Outlaws. Talking about our friends over here. But, like, grow some chickens and raise some cows and do the things.
And I think that's part of the swing back towards balance.
Yeah.
Is that, not that we have to live like that, but... Yes, I can sit with you on a prayer floor and we can hoot and holler and scream.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's godly.
Yeah.
It's spiritual. We might need to go dress shopping because clothes shopping.
Yes.
Because you know what? You can't wear that to a job interview. Like, do you know? I mean.
Yes.
Not dress shopping, dear God.
No,
but
I
we
heard
need
it.
To,
you heard it here, guys.
No, for you. I said for you.
No, you. Yo, for but, you. You're talking about you.
But I think we need to reinvest getting invested back into our friends and families again in a normal, healthy way.
Yes.
Of, I'm not gonna, I'll come help you with the yard work, but,
and you
know,
have
like, not every Saturday, you know, like after a while we're gonna just have to, you know, scorched earth it and move on. But like, especially with your backyard.
Yes.
Not
yes.
that it's bad, it's beautiful.
It's
it
the poison
carries
ivy.
The evil with it.
It's a poison ivy.
But
I didn't get it bad this time.
Oh,
did you notice that?
Yeah. You know, you should.
Listen.
I don't know. Why are you back there?
No. Come on now. We're talking about, remember that cancer that was there?
Gone. Poison ivy's.
Boom.
A bit of a, you know. But we forget that God is just as much in the sitting down and eating and breaking bread and speech and talking and living as he is in... The deep healing, the casting out of demons, you know, like all the healings that you see Jesus do, you also see him go back and eat, go back and do these things. I think it was very important that one of the last things he did was eat with his disciples. Why? Because it wasn't like this holy moment. He just was having dinner.
Yeah,
like
I'm hungry.
I mean, even when he came back to earth after he died. He was walking with the two apostles or the two disciples, and they had no idea
that it was even him
until he sat down and ate with them.
Yeah.
You know,
bread funny or what?
Yeah.
But
you know, but again, and also with like the first century church and, you know, the early church, you know, they talk about it in Acts and after Acts. And it's like, that's what they did. They lived life together.
Right. Yeah.
And it is. I think part of it is the Western mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say just American mindset, but I think it's a lot of Western mindset of the compartmentalization of just, no, I'm going to put Jesus in his box. I'm going to put my job in that box. I'm going to put my family in that box. I'm going to put my spouse in that box.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you and I have talked about it a lot. It's just the living out loud.
Yeah.
You know, it's the living the everyday life of, you know, because I think a lot of times we try to make it more complicated than it really is.
Right.
It's like, how many, I mean, I know that there's mainly one verse, but it's like, you know, they'll know us by our love for each other.
That's it.
Right.
That's
you know,
it.
So it's like, we don't have to like march up and down the street carrying banners and shouting, "We love Jesus, we're Christians."
Yeah.
But it's just by the way we treat each other, by the way we treat others. You know, again, the story of, you know, when we went to Comic-Con, you know, the one vendor's like, "Oh my gosh, are you always happy?"
What did you take? I could just hear it. Like, I could see it in her face. What did you take?
Yeah.
You know, but it is. It's, you know, if we can live out loud, you know, my neighbor that I eventually said, you know what, there's something about you. There's something about this guy and his wife that they seem cool. And I want to know, I want that. I want that in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and it is. That's, it does. It comes down to, I think we make it too complicated.
Yeah.
Men's ministry, women's ministry, marrieds, just living life.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it is, it's like, what do you do as far as like the testimonies and the things? Like, I'm literally thinking about tomorrow, right? So tomorrow we get to take our sweet girl. She's going to have some surgery. And you, Heather, my sweet friend, are going to just sit with me. Because that's what you do.
She's good at it.
She's really good.
She's good at it. She'll bring you energy drinks, and she's good at sitting with you.
I was going to say, I was like, what did I bring you, Luke? It was energy drinks. That's right.
It was so because
then we got energized and stuck in the hospital.
Because why do you know that?
Because when you had your first lumpectomy, Heather came and kept me company.
Yeah. See?
And one of our pastors that also just like cheered loudly in the middle of the hall. He's so great. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was awesome. But yeah.
Brought a crowd.
Yeah.
And it's showing that love. It's showing it's ministering to those spaces. It's sitting down with the bread. I mean, because when you said it wasn't until Jesus sat down that they recognized him, and I was like, the familiarity of being with a friend. It's like all of a sudden you're just kind of like, sometimes we get so caught up in the fog or get caught up in our sins or get caught up in the junk or get caught up in the past or get caught up even in the circumstance that's in front of us. We just need someone to sit down and say, "Hey,
how you doing?
How you doing? You all right?
You want a Red Bull?"
I don't think I want a Red Bull tomorrow.
Well, it's okay.
You could bring me coffee, but
yeah, I was going to say, please don't ask for a Red Bull.
I don't want a Red Bull.
I mean, it was okay.
Those are gross.
Good, but
no, thank you.
I mean, I don't know how theologically accurate this is, but, you know, like when we hear about, you know, when you pass away and you're with God and you kind of go over your life, like, I don't know if that's really going to happen.
Yeah.
But I do think that if you do.
Yeah.
And you might. A lot of the times he's going to be like, you know, you just had this great gift for healing. And you're like, I didn't heal anybody. What are you talking about? And he's just going to point out, did you see that lunch? That lunch with that person, that healed them in a spot that they didn't even know they were broken at anymore.
Yeah.
Did you see the time you went shopping with so-and-so or for a walk? This healed them. Like, we look at it as like, well, if the leg didn't regrow,
right,
it's not a healing.
Right.
or the brain didn't re-unscramble, it's not. Well, that's not. Yes, that's true. That's healing.
Yeah.
But healing comes in 1,000 different forms.
Yeah.
Joy comes in 1,000 different forms.
Yeah.
And I think we just go so deep, so spiritually deep. Like, we want to see, you know, the masses of holy laughter splayed out all over the floor. That would freak me out, just so we're clear. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if I'm ready for it. But, and there's nothing bad against it. I don't think it's wrong.
We've got a women's conference coming up. Are
you okay
with that?
I'm trying to brace myself right now. Okay. We just talk. I'm scared. I'm fine. But
I'll come find you. I'll be all right. Just come find me and grab
but
my arm.
But what I think is like, while those are healing, they're revival, they're every fun Christian word you want to put on it, so is a cup of coffee.
Yes, ma'am.
At the right time.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
So is just being a friend, letting somebody use your washer and dryer when you thought it was just the dryer.
Boom.
Like, so is, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Why? Because it's showing I'm a dependable person. Mm-hmm. I really care for you.
Yeah.
You know, yes, use my house. I said it. I mean it.
Yeah.
And we really just go way too deep sometimes.
Yeah. It's the practical.
And I think we'll be very surprised at what God was like. I judged you on this and I judged you on that. And you're like, what? That wasn't my ministry.
And you're
like, I didn't care about that so much as you thought I did.
It's.
I cared about your life.
Come on.
Like.
Come on. It's what are you doing in the journey? It's not the destination.
Yes.
It's what are you... we talk about it a lot. It's like, you know, and when it comes to the testimonies, when it comes to the lives being changed, it's my favorite part of what you said that one day is it wasn't that I walked away from something. I just walked towards something else. Yeah. And it's like, it's that easy. It's sitting down and just doing a transfer. Like, God, I'm just going to give you this for this, you know?
Yeah. And even, I don't even know what you want with this, and I don't care. Yeah. I just want to see you.
And it's I want to take that away. Yeah.
And I think, we'll go back to testimonies. What I think, when I was writing that one about the Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
What I was thinking about. Yeah. It finally clicked. It was, my brain is slow.
Okay.
But where did we have it? Where it said, I don't want, you know, we talk about, you don't want your kids to taste Egypt.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a fair thing. It's a really Christianese saying, like, but I get the point behind it. You don't want your kids to fall into what you fell into, or right. worse, or better, or whatever. Right. You want them to live life with God. Totally understandable.
Yeah.
But I had this, not a vision like that. But like, I just had this image of like, Egypt isn't, I don't want you to taste it. I don't want you to touch the doorknob that's holding Egypt on the other side of the door. Mm. And that's why I'm giving you my testimony. It's not because it did great things or crazy things or bad right. things. It's because I want you to know
yeah.
that outside of God, there's death.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's slow or it's fast, but it's destruction and death. And that's what you have. So it's not that I don't want you to taste it.
Yeah.
I don't even want you to put your hand on the doorknob.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Egypt isn't, it's not a food, and there's nothing against actual Egypt. So we're clear. Yeah. Like, spiritually, again, it's the Christianese thing. If you're not a big into the Christian lingo, then it can be confusing. But Egypt is like, any time that God talks about Egypt, it was always a spiritual or physical destination.
Yeah.
When he talked about it, it wasn't, I don't want you to taste it. He was like, I don't want you to be there. Why? Because it's a slavery, it's oppression, it's destruction.
Yeah.
It's either something you get freed from or you get swallowed by. That's it.
Wow.
And I don't even want you to be in it.
Yeah.
So yeah. don't even put your hand on that doorknob.
Yeah.
That's what our testimonies really should just tell people, that yes. God can redeem everything. So don't even touch it. If you haven't been out there, if you've always been saved, if you've always been following Jesus, don't deviate.
Yeah.
Because it ain't fun.
Yeah.
You have some really, maybe a couple of cool stories, but they're not worth it.
And
they're not really cool. You just laugh because you're traumatized.
And here's the reality. Okay, I'll put it out there. Here's the reality. There's no guarantee you're coming back. That right. you're coming back.
Right.
I came back, but you may not. Right. So why are we even trying? And why are you even testing this water?
And while God can restore you and redeem you and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you still pay a price.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the point?
Yes, ma'am. Because I love what you said. You said, we always say we don't want our kids to taste Egypt, but I want our kids to be less afraid of tasting it and rather wise enough to understand it.
Yeah.
And that what it can do, the right. destruction of right. it. And it's like, and like you said, the testimonies is what does that. And it's, and this all ties in together. It's that sitting down, it's the breaking the bread. It's, you know, you met the other friend coming out as you're coming in, mm-hmm. you know, speaking to our beautiful girl and just sitting down, getting into each other's lives. Hey, I see that there might be a little bit of a something here. Can I help you with that? Hey, let me tell you my testimony so you don't have to go.
Right. How many times have you guys told your testimony from stage? From a stage, not just necessarily our church.
Maybe twice,
but
three times.
Yeah. Okay. How many times have you told it to people one on one in a sitting?
We can't count that high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's when you really are going to tell it.
Yeah.
And yeah, while it's cool to say I told it in front of 5,000 people, I haven't. I'm just saying, like, if you know,
right.
That's great. But it's not about the quantity. It's about who is ready to receive it, and there's usually going to be the people who you're sitting with.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're maybe meeting at the hospital. Oh, dear God.
You know we're going to be talking to people.
I know, you're like a person magnet. I had that happen to me the other day.
I was about to say, it happened. You said that there was a lady that talked to you for 10 minutes.
10 minutes in the store. Bless her. I was like, I don't even know what you want me to do here. And God was like, I just want you to shut up and listen. That's it.
You were healing.
I was, apparently.
In the space.
And I think, but again, like yeah. when we talk our stories, they're not always... We so often think our testimonies are what we did before we got saved, but what about the testimonies of after?
Come on.
What about Sebastian?
I was going to say, he's one of probably one of our greatest testimonies.
But what about, you know, getting hit with a lopper, finding out just in time before it got too bad and before you had to really deal with some, you know what I mean? You did, but I mean, like finding out when it was tiny, so small that the doctors were like, oh, hey, you may have something there. Let's take
that out. Absolutely fascinated. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That's a testimony. Yes. Our testimonies don't begin and end at getting saved or the sin beforehand.
Yeah. See, that in itself, man, Heather, that in itself right there, like, build on those things.
Right.
It's the launch pad. Like, God rescued you from this, but, okay, so if God can rescue me from this, good Lord, then... This is nothing.
Well, it's like salvation is the door that opens into Narnia.
Come on.
Okay, there's a whole kingdom. Go explore.
Yes.
Overtake a evil witch and take her out. Anyways, but sorry, I love the Chronicles of Narnia. But like that's the doorway. That's nice. Yeah. Let's keep walking.
Yeah. Don't stop.
And see who I encounter and what would we not do for each other, but who we point to.
Mm.
And the life we give to each other. Anyways.
I love that. I love that. Any other thoughts? Thanks for coming in with us today.
You're welcome.
You keep scooting so far back from that microphone.
I know, like it's going to eat him.
Well, part of the reason is because I'm so congested and I have to keep coughing. So I'm like, I'm just going to be like away from the microphone.
Yeah, of all days for me to ask you to do this.
Yeah.
You're a trooper.
His voice is
appreciate you.
99% of the time, this is my microphone, so I can like get my own germs all over
it. It's
true. It doesn't matter.
It is true. It is true. But no, it's good. It's good. But sincerely, thank you for sitting in for Marcia today. I hope he did you justice, girl. No, we missed you.
I think
it's just as simple. We missed you.
Well, huh? We did.
Yeah.
We miss Marcia.
She is irreplaceable.
She is irreplaceable.
I will never even try.
Ah, it's sure. You cannot be that bougie.
No.
No. I just had a picture.
What do you say?
I don't look that good in heels.
I just had a picture of him in heels.
That was before Jesus.
He's tall enough.
No,
I was in a show because I used to be a theater major. I was in a show and they actually put me in like heels. Ooh. And our costume person, she's like, do you know how hard it is to find heels for a size 13 male?
Well,
she's like, I went online looking for stuff and I found stuff that I didn't want to see.
I bet. What were you, scraping 7 foot at that point? Like, holy cow.
No, they were only like maybe 2 inches.
Oh,
it's all the premise of what you were wearing, though. It was
in steel magnolias?
What was it for?
No, I didn't show you a picture of this one, but it was... It was an old French play. It was called School for Husbands. And so it's like, I was in heels. They put little bows on top of the heels because it was like 16th, 17th century France is the setting. So it's like that style. So I'm like in heels, white stockings, pink shorts, pink vest, white shirt, and a black wig went halfway down my back.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Vision of a very interesting Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. Oh, wow. What we do before Jesus.
I know, you probably still do it after Jesus, though,
wouldn't
you, babe?
I mean, it's
probably.
It's art.
Maybe.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in the realm of theater that I probably would stay away from unless I knew like for sure what it was.
Yeah, and the spirit behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again,
sorry,
the testimony. You know what you are graced for and what you are, what is it that you said, the war?
Yeah.
The war you face.
Yeah, the battles I've got the grace for. Yep.
You know which battles you're graced for. So mm-hmm. I think that probably needs to be the conclusion of allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you when you're talking to people know that your testimony is not just the words that you say, but like what Luke was saying, just what your actions. Who are you? Who are you? What are you portraying? What is your purpose? What's your motivation? Is in let it always point people to Jesus, no matter what. Let it point people to Jesus and let them give hope.
Yeah.
Just like our tatted friend says, give hope.
Give hope.
Yep. Any other thoughts?
I think that's it.
I think he's ready. Alpus is ready. He is awakened. You've done really good today, buddy. All right. We missed you, Marcia.
Yes, absolutely.
We pray the goodness of God over every one of our listeners. If you are in the KC area, we have an Arise conference coming up April 12th. Where are we?
12th through 14th.
Through the 14th at Revive Church.
Whatever that weekend is.
Yeah. And
next weekend. Next weekend.
Next weekend.
Because this episode gets released on Friday.
Oh, yes. So next weekend. It's going to be next weekend. And even if you're not in the KC area, if you're somebody that wants to come and allow the warrior of God and who it is that he's created you to be to come forth.
I have a free ticket.
You won that last night.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep. So let us know, because genuinely, we want the voices to be unlocked in people. I think that that's what this last week's and this week's test or podcast is about, is just unlocking the voices, allowing people to be heard, us not being afraid of what God has done in our lives and what he's doing. He's continuing to do, because we're still growing. Even after our mess, we're still growing.
Yeah.
And we want you guys to be set free in every area and every capacity possible.
Yeah.
Just know that we are here for you and we're rooting.
Woo.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
In the real.